Welcome to the show, to the History Mix. I just got back from the Broadway musical Six, and I loved it, and that is the only line that I can remember the words to. I also sound like a frog, like a drunk frog, because I, one, was cheering the whole time, so for like an hour and a half I was cheering because the show was so good. But also because I definitely am a bit under the weather. I think that as a result of traveling the last little while and getting back, and, you know, my friends were also sick when we were in Argentina, so I maybe caught a little bit of that bug. So I'm definitely not on my A game health-wise, but you know what? We are here, we are thriving, and we have a flight in 6 hours. So yeah, I have like a 6 a.m. flight that I'm emotionally preparing for, but I needed to sit down and catch up with y'all because, as you know, like, I'm really trying to be better about turning my podcast episodes in on time, not just for y'all. I mean, I love y'all. I love this listenership to my core. But also because, like, I signed up to do this podcast because I wanted to be accountable to having this, like, structured time to sit down and just reflect, to close my eyes and speak from the heart in an unscripted and very honest way. And I feel like it's a bit of a red flag in my mental health journey when I skip that, because I think it's one of the first things to go when I'm, like, overwhelmed. And I of course, like, when you're overwhelmed, I think that it's important to take a step back and, you know, create space for yourself. But this is something that I want to make space for because it is one of the parts of my work life purpose that is about reflection and, like, grounding myself in my feelings and in my values. So I'm here, I'm congested, and I'm sorry I sound like this, but you know what? I'm hyped off of the energy of what I witnessed at the Six Broadway musical, and we have a lot to talk about because I not only had a psychiatrist appointment today that was gave me some revelations to think about, but I also had a therapy appointment, and I also am kicking off with an executive coach. So, you know, I really had like a day of, I feel like, leveling up my self-awareness, self-care game. Anyways, so I know I've vented a bunch of times before on this podcast about, like, the American psychiatric system and just, like, how I, in my own personal experience, speaking from, you know, only my experience, I just feel like meds are really pushed onto me. But I know that many other people feel this way, where I just keep having these fucking sessions where I go in, they ask me questions, a lot of the questions being like, have you felt sad? Have you felt anxious? And of course I'm like, yes, because I always feel anxious. And like, have you felt like your heart is beating fast? Yes. Have you had any stress that you're a failure? Yes. We're like, of course these are hard things. And like, I know I'm an anxious and depressed person, but to me it doesn't feel out of the ordinary. And it doesn't feel like necessarily a reason to, like, go up in my dosage or fill my body with more medication. And so anyways, I had another psychiatrist appointment today, and once again, she asked me these questions and I responded honestly about how I've been feeling. I've honestly been feeling like I'm doing a lot better, like I've been climbing out of this depressive episode, but I think just in the way that maybe the system or maybe the way that she or her practice works is like, I just got to the end of the session where she was like, okay, well, given that you have been feeling anxious, like, let's increase your dosage 25 milligrams. And again, there's nothing wrong with being on medication. Like, I'm very happy and grateful to be on medication and to be able to have access to that. I think my issue more with it is that, like, it just feels like I'm on this train that has put me on a path to be on medication for the rest of my life. And the more I learn about, like, how we're put on medication for mental health, it feels like I'm just putting on a lot of band-aids rather than, like, really just forcing myself to, maybe not forcing because that's more of a violent word, but like pushing myself to just really address the problem at the root cause of all of this anxiety. And like, the more I learn about, like, for example, like, I'm on Zoloft, right? And I was at 250 milligrams and I went down to 50, and now I'm back at, I was at 100, 125 at the next session, 150, now I'm at 175. Like, I just keep going in my medication dosage. And again, nothing wrong with that. But it just feels like I'm on this train where I'm signing up to have these monthly appointments, and at each appointment, because I've had some ounce of regular anxiety and depression, I just get my dosage increased. And then at a certain point, a lot of these medications, Zoloft included, they cap out. So it caps out at like, I think, 250 milligrams. And then basically your psychiatrist just chooses another medication for you to try out. And I remember being in rehab and like being surrounded by some of the other patients there who were like in their 50s and their 60s. And at dinner, we would all be given our medication. And just talking to people, we would talk very openly about the medication that we were on and what our psychiatrists were putting us on. And I would basically just kind of hear their stories of how they spent decades on certain medication. Now they've been trying all of these new ones and they're on lithium and like a whole other list of them. And again, nothing wrong with that, but I feel like I have this, my own internal frustration where it's like, I'm trying to tell you as a psychiatrist that like, even though I'm anxious and I have moments of depression every day, I feel like I'm doing okay. And I feel like I'm doing better and I'm making progress. So, you know, of course I want to listen to and respect the medical professionals and that's what I'm going to be doing. I'm just expressing like my personal frustration with the fact that it feels like because I'm not perfectly numb and because I have emotions and I'm having this daily anxiety, I'm being fed the answer that, oh, let's just increase your dosage until you're capped out at this one and then switch you to a new one. Anyways, so that was my psychiatrist appointment and I definitely came out of it frustrated. And am I gonna like take the new dosage? Yes, because I still feel like I recognize like, of course I'm not a medical professional. I don't know what I'm talking about in terms of like, you know, a lot of this medication, I'm not gonna diagnose myself, but I have been expressing a lot of this frustration like to the therapist that I'm working with. And it's something that I think about a lot because it's again, I've talked about this in previous episodes, but my boyfriend is, you know, comes from a different country where there isn't this culture of prescribing medication so easily. And also I grew up in a family that was very anti-medication as well, which is why for me, this journey with antidepressants and medication for my mental health has been so recent. So I have this psychiatrist appointment, and then a few hours later, I have a therapy appointment, and I go into my therapist's office. Of course, I'm like, I'm just peeved about I'm not angry or anything at my psychiatrist. I actually really like her. I think she's a wonderful woman. It was more that I was frustrated with this system overall and just feeling like I am expected to be numb and emotionless, and I'm trying to be honest about the way I'm feeling, and the answer I'm just getting is like more and more medication. So I talked to my therapist about it for a while, and, you know, of course, like, you know, she's very much respecting the professional opinion of my psychiatrist and being super professional about it. But she also understands like where I'm coming from, because I think I've expressed my desire to hopefully get to a point where I'm not in a space where I'm reliant on medication. I don't have any judgment towards people who might be, and I know that for many people, and, you know, she kind of suggested that I prepare myself to maybe have a lifetime of medication and know that there's nothing wrong with it. But, you know, so we talked about it for a while and we, of course, started to go through like, okay, well, what are those PTSD, complex PTSD symptoms or experiences that I'm still having? And I was trying to express to her, like, you know, one of the things that my psychiatrist really had issues with is the fact that I wake up still in kind of like an anxious state where like I wake up and I'm not like calm, let's get ready for the world and for the day, but I more so like wake up drenched in sweat from whatever stressful dreams I had that I can or cannot remember. And I have this anxiety over like, oh my gosh, I have so much to do today, or I feel like there's so much that I want to do that I don't have time for or the energy for. And so I was expressing all of this to her and we kind of got into the topic of sleep. And for those of you who've been listening for a while, you know that I love my sleep. And it hasn't always been that way because I am a recovering insomniac and I used to not sleep at all. I would be lucky if I slept like 2 to 3 hours a night. But lately, post-treatment and all of that, I'm all about my sleep. Like I want to sleep 8 to 10 hours a night. If I sleep 12 hours in the night, like I'm so proud of myself. I'm so excited about it. And I think that it's been so liberating to like really reconnect with the person inside of me that just wants to sleep all day. And also acknowledge that like I have grown up in a world that conditions me to think of like rest and sleep as a waste of time. And I feel like it's honestly a huge win and sign of progress on my part that I am kind of at the opposite side of that now, where I'm just like so excited about sleeping a lot.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
So anyways, we got into the topic of, you know, kind of how my sleep has been recently. And I was telling her about kind of these reoccurring dreams that I have. And I was sharing with her, like, I still have some trouble going to sleep. It's not as bad as it used to be. It maybe takes me like an hour to 3 hours to fall asleep. Less if I'm listening to the Harry Potter audiobooks. But I was sharing with her that, like, for so many years, what the thoughts that I would have when I was going to sleep were really terrifying. They were like bad flashbacks. And then when I got into more of my career and my career started to be more stressful, I replaced those flashbacks more with just work stress, like going through my to-do list or my calendar for the next day, worried about what I have to do and all of that. And then from there, I just kind of went to sleep or would fall asleep or conk out like after I had an hour or so, like planning my day in my head or trying to build a strategy for whatever I was working on or dreaming up a new company or like a brand book in my mind. And so I feel like I kind of distracted myself from that, where some therapists or like specialists I remember seeing were like, you're a workaholic, and like that's the issue. The root of the issue is that you're a workaholic. But I do think, like, the more and more I reflect on it and the more I, like, read through my old journals and my old diaries, it really feels like, no, I wasn't a workaholic for the sake of being a workaholic, but, like, the root of that issue was that I was distracting myself from, like, these deeper traumatic things that I was trying not to think about. And it does feel like progress that I don't have those flashbacks as much, and I feel like through a lot of the therapy that I've done, I've almost become, like, more desensitized to it, where I don't have, like, I can think about the traumatic things that have happened and I don't have a panic attack. I'm more just like, oh yeah, like that happened, like that sucks, but like, damn, like, you know, I'm past that. Like, I feel like I have been more desensitized to it. But I was telling my therapist actually about these reoccurring dreams that I've been having for the last few years and I still have. And, you know, again, I've talked about this on the podcast before, but like, I have these reoccurring dreams that feel so lucid and so real, where like so real to the fact that like sometimes when I wake up in the morning, I have to check my calendar to make sure that like I'm aware that not a lot of time has passed and I've just been sleeping and whatever happened in the dream didn't actually happen. And it sounds so, I don't want to say stupid, but it sounds like uneventful or not terrifying when I say it out loud, but like in the dream, it's very terrifying. So basically, I have these reoccurring dreams where, like, it's normal life, everyday life. I could be riding the subway. I could be, like, going for a walk. I could be, like, telling Henry that I'm going to go to the bathroom. I could be, like, going to empty the dishwasher. Like, I'm doing something very normal, like, not a big fantastical dream. And in the dream, at some point, I bend down to grab something. I either bend down, like, I bend my knees and I bend down to, like, pick something up, or I bend down because I was, like, sitting and I'm trying to get up. And my legs just don't work. Like, I'm stuck squatting on the ground, and no matter what I do, no matter how much I like push and feel like my muscles igniting, my body is just heavy. And I'm fully alert, I'm fully awake, but I cannot move. And then for like the rest of the dream, I'm like maybe stuck in the same place. Like, if I'm on a hike, I'm on that hike and I'm stuck in the same place, kind of trying to not to freak out. And I can't move and nobody's coming to get me. And I'm like trying to brainstorm like how I'm going to get off this hike. Or, you know, if I'm in the house, like I'm stuck in that position and I'm like calling for Henry. I'm like waiting for Henry. He eventually has to pick me up. Or I have these dreams where I'm just like grabbing onto things, trying to like push myself up. Basically, like the premise of the dream, and I cannot explain where it comes from. And maybe there's like a dream expert who's listening to this podcast, but like, TLDR, I'm like going about everyday life, and then out of nowhere, because I bent my knees, I'm suddenly like paralyzed from the waist down and I can't move. And it's just like this fear. And interestingly enough, like in those dreams, I never like break down crying. I never like have a panic attack in that moment. It's like this sudden, like trying to talk myself out of panicking and being like, okay, like what do I do now? I have to like keep going on about my day. And like at some point I'll just wake up, but like I'll wake up and, or the dream will stop and like I guess I'll keep sleeping until I wake up. But these are like such vivid dreams that like sometimes I wake up in real life, not in the dream. I wake up in real life and I like put my legs out of the bed and then I have this like maybe millisecond of a passing thought that like I'm gonna try to stand up and put my weight on my feet and I'm just gonna crumble. And like that concern is so real. I don't even know how to stress this to you more of like, it feels so, that concern feels so real that like when I stand up, I feel like thankful / surprised that I could stand up. And like, again, I cannot explain where this dream comes from, but like, it's such real anxiety and like, it's just a reoccurring dream. And again, like I try to explain it to my therapist and I'm like, I wake up in a puddle of sweat. Like my side of the mattress is truly disgusting. It's like sweat stained and Henry's side is not. Like I started having those night sweats, like honestly, like a few years ago. And I of course, outside of like the flashbacks and every now and then I'll have dreams of like someone murdering me or like something really bad like that, or, you know, or getting canceled, you know, things like that. But like, there's just this like reoccurring dream that I can't explain that happens so often. And I've always had reoccurring dreams in my mind, most of them related to trauma. But like, this one is like, it's not related to trauma. Like I've never had a broken bone. I've never been immobile. I've never, I'm an able-bodied person. I'm non-disabled. And yet this is like a reoccurring dream that like happens a lot. And like, I can't really explain it. Anyways, so that's my day and it's been on my mind in the last few hours. But I do feel like I'm leveling up my self-care situation. Like I've been better about investing in like different things that make me really like pampered and make me feel like fancy schmancy, treat yourself, you know, vibes, which I love, like abundance mindset. I got my hair done for the first time, like a haircut for the first time in like 2 or 3 years. That was great. I got a facial. I not only had therapy today, I had my psychiatrist appointment, my therapist, and I'm lining up coaching. Like, I feel like I'm at a place and like thankful for like the privilege of having the like material resources to afford this, where I'm like investing in myself and like practicing that abundance mindset. So like, that's all good. My therapist did recommend, like, if I am having this frustration with all the like medication stuff, to potentially explore ketamine infusion. I only know ketamine as the horse tranquilizer party drug that makes everybody like trip out and hallucinate. I've never done it in a party recreational or in like a mental health professional sense, but she was telling me about it and was kind of telling me about clients who have had success with it and kind of talking about it being something that is allows yourself to address the root of the issue rather than like, you know, as an alternative to the, you know, more traditional westernized like antidepressant for your lifetime route. So this is kind of like a call out to anybody out there who either like knows anything about ketamine infusion or maybe you've done it. Like I'm really interested in like sharing notes about it, and I'm gonna like homework for myself and my to-do list to like really look into ketamine infusion. And it also kind of felt like a sign from the universe. Not that I'm like too woo-woo and believe in a lot of that, but I've been listening to a lot of podcasts about the like psychedelics being legalized for veterans with PTSD or like survivors with PTSD, and like that being a really, really powerful way of rebuilding neural pathways. I'm not really sure about the scientific language about it. Anyways, something that I'm thinking about, something that's opening up for me. And yeah, that's just like my download of where I'm at right now. I need to go to sleep because I'm suppressing a cough right now. I know I sound so congested. So if you've made it this far on the podcast, thank you for listening. And I gotta go pack because I have a flight in a few hours, but I'm gonna be sleeping before then. I'm gonna sleep on the plane and I'm probably gonna take a nap tomorrow afternoon. With that, I love you all so much. Thank you for listening and I will see you all next week. Bye y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.